Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
And coming up to 11 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, 51552 is our text. And during the week, it was reported that the baby, the little Bob Oge from the cover of Nirvana's second album, Nevermind, was suing the band on the grounds of sexual exploitation. The cover features a four-month-old in a swimming pool grasping for a dollar bill that's dangling in front of him on a fishing hook. It was controversial at the time of the album's release and joined a long list of album artwork that's been banned, reworked or changed in order for the album to be released. DJ and broadcaster Kate Brennan-Harding is with us now to chat through this and other album covers that sparked debate over what is suitable for public release. So 51552, if you can give us some that we don't have. Kate, first of all, welcome to the programme. Give us an insight into the background of the artwork on Nirvana's album Nevermind. Oh, where is she now? Which is on two? Oh, second phone line. Hello, Kate? Oh, it's the external. Kate, how are you? All right. Couldn't find you there. Sorry.
And on. What was I going to say to you? I think most people who grew up in the 90s had a poster of this sprawled across their bedroom window, or bedroom window, bedroom wall. But the baby was Spencer Eldon, and he was attending a baby pool. He's only 4 months old. And the idea for the album came about when Cobain and Dave Grohl, they'd been watching a TV show about water births. So they wanted to use an image of a water birth, but these were considered way too graphic at the time. So they set Kirk Weddle, the photographer, out, and he went off to a baby swimming group. The baby was a friend of Weddle's, as in the father was a friend of Weddle's. And there was a small bit of concern that the infant's penis would cause offence. So originally they were going to put a sticker, they suggested putting a sticker over his penis. But Cobain said, if you're going to do that, you're going to put it writing, if you're offended by this, you must be a closet paedophile. So obviously that didn't happen. And then Eldon has recreated this album cover for its 10th, 17th and 25th anniversaries. And he wanted to do the 25th anniversary shoot naked, which the photographer was like, no, we won't be doing that. And in 2015, he seemed to be totally fine with it. He said, I might have one of the most famous penises in the music industry, but no one would ever know that to look at me. Sooner or later, I want to create a print of a real de-enactment shot. He thinks it would be fun. And then the following year, he changed his mind and he said that he thought, like, my God, everybody has seen my little baby penis and I feel like I've got my human rights revoked. So he has sued the surviving members of Nirvana's estate and Kurt Cobain's estate, claiming that the use of his likeness on the album cover was done without his consent or that of his legal guardians, and that it violated federal child pornography statutes and that it resulted in lifelong damages. So that's the story behind it.
Yeah, and the guy who's sort of putting the thing up, I saw him in the paper, his name is Robert Levine or something.
Yeah.
And he says, to ensure the album cover would trigger a visceral sex response from a sexual response from the viewer. I mean, that says more about Robert Levine, I think, than anything.
Completely.
I
mean, there's nothing sexual about a baby. And exactly as Cobain said originally when they were suggesting putting a sticker over it, you know, he was like, well, if you do think this, then, you know, there's something up. So, you know, I think it's interesting in terms of, like, imagine what kids are like these days, where all of their images are put up online, you know, whether it's just their parties, etc. So it provokes the question around kind of, you know, kids in the future might be looking back and wanting to remove their digital footprint. You know, it's interesting to look at it from that perspective. I think that Eldon is perfectly entitled to change his mind about how he feels around the use of his body being used. But I also think it's a bit cynical,
to say the very least. And he's taken part in the same shoot many times since, hasn't he?
He has. Like, that's the thing. He's reenacted it so many times, and he's definitely kind of enjoyed the fame coming from it.
Okay,
but at the same time, you still have to respect somebody's right to change their mind, you know?
Yeah, change your mind, but not change your mind by suing them.
Fair.
That's
ridiculous. Totally.
Anyway, that's Nirvana. That's Nirvana. Nevermind is the album from 30 years ago this year. Where do we go from that now?
Well, let's go to Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, that was a bit kind of disturbing.
It's very disturbing. I mean, the original album, Appetite for Destruction, is taken from a cover art which was based on a painting by Robert Williams, which depicts a robot rapist being punished by a metal avenger. And the idea, according to the band, is that it was a symbolic statement, the robot representing an industrial system that's raping and polluting the environment. Now, personally, like, obviously they have a point. I just get so tired of seeing women used in this way. So, like, that album cover, I'm glad it didn't make the cut, so to speak. But loads and loads of stores wouldn't stock the album. And So the change to what is an incredibly iconic cover now, it's, you know, the image of the Celtic cross. Can you see it in your mind's eye?
Yeah, is there some Lizzy connection here?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the band love Thin Lizzy, so they utilise the Celtic cross as an homage to him and to the band. And then the Five Skulls features all of the band members, with Axel obviously being in the middle. So that's on t-shirts, emblazoned in t-shirts, but actually the original cover that was so controversial is on the inside sleeve of the album.
Okay. Now, Red Hot Chili Peppers, how about that? Mother's Milk, seriously.
Mother's Milk, yeah. So this cover, it's black and white, and it features the band. They're sort of sprawled across the arms of a giant topless woman, and her nipples are covered by a rose, and Kydus is standing on the left, because, you know, we all have to cover up women's nipples because they're so completely different to men's. But the cover was influenced from, did you know that it's influenced from Sly and the Family Stone?
I didn't.
Yeah, Sly had a miniature version of the band held in his hand, and the guys decided they wanted to kind of do something like that. But also, like, in another turn of event, the reason that this was controversial is that the model that was used, Dawn Elaine, she actually sued the band because she didn't realise that her photo would be used naked, which it was, in promotional posters. So she won $50,000 off the band for taking them to court. So, you know, in fairness, they should have completely told her what they were using.
If they got in touch there and said, listen, well, I'll give you a grand or two or whatever, like, at the time would have maybe not meant much, then they would have been better off. Oh, here we are, back to sampling from a few weeks. You're better off
totally.
You're better off asking for permission.
Well, completely, but it's also about consent, because she didn't realise that she was going to be used in those in a more exploitative way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like I actually think that album cover is really beautiful. I kind of like the art side of it. Will we go to David Bowie next?
Yeah. Okay, Diamond Dogs, obviously.
Diamond Dogs. Yeah. Like, I remember seeing this cover for the first time and being really kind of weirded out by it. I was a kid. And that's the whole point. I mean, anything Bowie does is to provoke controversy. I absolutely adore him. But it features Bowie sort of as half, a painting of Bowie sort of half man, half dog. And it was, he actually modelled in photographs for it alongside a Great Dane.
The famous Terry O'Neill.
Yes, exactly. And the reason that it was controversial is because originally it featured full genitalia. So people didn't really want to see that, or, you know, felt that that was too much to be used and be sold with. So RCA had the genitalia airbrushed from the sleeve, but some of the original album covers got released out and actually are still some of the most sought after Bowie memorabilia, Bowie collectibles.
Right, but they did change it and they were airbrushed out and you could buy the nice clean copy, is that it?
You could buy the nice clean copy, but at the same time it seems that some were just leaked out.
Yeah.
You know, as
and
in
at the
like,
time right, it was your man that? Guy Peelhart, who did loads of covers of albums. He did
Stones.
The Stones one, yeah, it's only rock and roll, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's exactly where Bowie had gotten his idea from. Right. He was like, I want something like this and I want you to create it in this kind of way.
Yeah.
So I love the way Bowie always utilised people that were exciting to him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, any more?
Yeah, of course. Sex Pistols, Never Mind the Bollocks. I actually text Graham and Edna, go, can I say that on air? Never Mind the Bollocks, here's the Sex Pistols from 1977.
Yeah.
And what a great story, Dave. It's brilliant. Like, obviously, they were going to call the album God Save the Sex Pistols, but they changed that because guitarist Steve Jones had picked up the slang Never Mind the Bollocks, which obviously means don't stop talking rubbish. But there was uproar in the UK and the police were going in and shutting down stores and taking down the posters and memorabilia ahead of the album sales. And in one Virgin Records shop, they kept putting up the originals and the manager was arrested and there was a case. So Richard Branson, it looks like Richard Branson did this deliberately. Richard Branson, who owned Virgin Media, obviously, he looked after all the legal costs and it went to court. And it was sort of proven that, you know, there was a bias against the Sex Pistols, that there was a bias against punk, there was a bias against what it was saying, yet, you know, newspapers could publish this word. And he brought in a head of English into the council, brought in a head
Fantastic.
Of English into. Yeah, but he brought in a head of English and found out that the word bollocks was actually meant priest.
Thing, like, we're looking back at how quaint it all was in 1977, but do you know the way, like, for instance, you read something in the Daily Mail and it says, like, but that was like S dot dot T. Just print the damn word and stop being so stupid. But look, in the Irish Times today, with Patrick Frayne meets Jedward in the magazine section on page 14, there's an interview with Sharon Horgan. And the big headline is a quote from her saying, "I don't believe age is just a number. That's bollocks." And the really weird thing is, it's B star LL star CKS. Like, there's two stars in there. What? I mean, similar. I don't know. Like, either do it or don't do it. Anyway.
Do it or don't do it, exactly. Yeah. But I love that story because I love the anti-establishment, the entire purpose of it. And I love that it was taken to court, and I love that it was a record store owner, you know, label owner who took it to court.
Perfect story. Tell us about Kanye West.
Well, Kanye, so this is another thing. So he actually deliberately wanted to create a controversial album cover. He went about, I want to create something that's going to get banned. So he did that with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is 11 years old. I can't actually believe that. But he obviously thought, well, there's a real marketing capability with this. It's designed by George Kondo, and it shows West being straddled on a bed by an armless winged female with fearsome features and a long spotted tail. So it's a drawing, it's a painting, it's a piece of art. It's quite disturbing looking, as you'd imagine. Both Kanye and the artist are nude, and one of the nipples is on display, and the buttocks are visible, and I can't believe I said buttocks, the bum is visible.
You're getting through the whole gamut here.
I really am. But Kondo made 5 covers for that album because it was not approved, and it was the only thing is that Kanye said, "Woohoo, I'm banned. I've been banned in the USA. I've been banned by
Walmart."
But he wasn't
looking for it. Okay,
but he wasn't banned. That was the thing. Right. So you know, it's like Inception.
Well, let's go back 100 years, 1966, on the Beatles album. Now, this was an American release called Yesterday and Today, when they were the biggest band in the world. Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, obviously it was, we all look back at the 60s and go, okay, so there was huge changes socially, and the Beatles were beginning to use their platform to protest. So on this album cover, you've got the Beatles, the Fab Four. They are covered, they're in white kind of outfits, and they're covered in meat and then decapitated dolls. And the band have gone on to say, like George Harrison said, obviously a long time ago in the Beatles anthology, he said that sometimes we all did stupid things thinking it was cool and hip, but it was naive and dumb, and that was one of them. But McCartney had said that critics of it were soft. Actually, the same image was used for the single Paperback Writer. And there was an ad taken out in NME, and that caused controversy. But in terms of like the grand things of that could be controversial, that one is probably quite tame. And I think it was the first time that Lennon and co were just kind of going, do you know what, we're not happy with the status quo, and we're going to use what we have to make a change.
Right, but it was banned, wasn't it, and taken away and all the rest.
It was banned, and there were 750,000 copies recalled in the US, so it cost a fortune.
What?
As well. Yeah, 750, because they'd already gone out, and then they basically decided, oh god, we're getting bad press here, we'll recall them, you know. So 750,000 of them taken back.
Yeah, a couple of years later, Electric Ladyland, Jimi Hendrix. Whatever he was trying to do, I don't know if it really worked. Did it?
I don't think it worked. But the thing is, he wasn't actually trying to do this either.
Right.
The cover shot.
I'd say Jimmy wouldn't give a damn, frankly.
Yeah, he didn't. He had a totally different idea. He wanted to use a colour photo by Linda McCartney.
Oh, that, as in Linda McCartney before she ever married Paul.
Yeah, when she was Linda
Eastman.
Right.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. So he wanted to use a picture of a group of children sitting on a sculpture in Central Park, and that idea wasn't taken. Basically, he was ignored. And then the cover shot is by David Montgomery, and in that you see 19 nude women lounging in front of a black background. And Hendrix initially said, I'm not really happy about that. But then he told Rolling Stone that he was like, look, I dug it anyway. So like, he liked it at the end. But I don't think, like, while it's iconic in a lot of ways, because he didn't really want it, it's kind of like, kind of makes it a bit flat, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. All right. What about Whatever People Say I Am, the debut from Arctic Monkeys in 2006?
Well, I love this because I love Arctic Monkeys anyway, but the cover artwork is a photo of a guy called Chris McClure, and he's smoking a cigarette, and
Is he just anybody?
Well, he's a friend of the band and friend of the photographer, and he has a relation in, what's the name of the band?
Don't know.
Oh, anyway, he smoked it, but he just looks really bad. He looks worse for wear, and it's The reason being, because the band gave him and his pals 70 quid to go out in Liverpool for the night out and take some photos afterwards. But it caused controversy because, obviously, 2006, anti-smoking crackdown, fair enough.
Oh, my God, he was smoking a cigarette.
He was smoking a cigarette. And somebody said, you know, from the NHS in England said, reinforcing the idea that smoking's okay. And the band's manager denied the accusation and said, like, it's the opposite. You can see he really doesn't look very good while
smoking. I'm just trying to think of something. I think I could be right about this, but I'm not sure if somebody will check it out for me on Google or whatever. If you buy Abbey Road, the album now, Paul's cigarette is taken out of his hand. He has a cigarette in his, like, for 30 years or whatever. And then when cigarettes were uncool or whatever, I think they've airbrushed the cigarettes out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's ringing some bell in the deep recesses of my brain. So, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Last week we had a big thing on the programme about the Strokes.
I heard all about it with Luke. Yeah. It was really cool.
Tell me about that cover.
Well, that cover, shocking and brilliant. The international cover of Is This It? It's by Colin Lane, and it features a photograph of a woman's rear and her hip with a leather-gloved hand suggestively resting on it. Now, I have to say, when I first saw this cover, I couldn't make out what it was because it's done in just black and white.
Yeah.
But the model was Lane's then girlfriend, and all they were doing, they were hanging out, and she got out of the shower and they wanted to make some photos for themselves, and they did. And there was someone had left a glove, a stylist or something had left a glove in their apartment, and they both said there was no real inspiration for it, that they were just trying to take a sexy picture. But what happened then was clearly they were like, oh, that looks really, really good, and it became the album artwork.
Right, so okay. Cool. Is This It from the Strokes, which is 20 years old this month. Now, Rage Against the Machine, they were looking for it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything they did.
Everything they did. But, you know, like another, just going into 1992 and Rage Against the Machine and doing these kind of connect the dots thing. Rage Against the Machine, obviously there was the, you know, the stickers that are still there, parental advisory, explicit content. So at the same time, Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife, was, you know, deliberately trying to make sure that there was labelling going on to all records because she was shocked at what was coming out of mainly Prince's mouth a number of years earlier. And the person who went up against Tipper Gore was one of them, was a mom from one of the Rage Against the Machine guys. I don't know which one. I just read that recently. I was like, that's a bit mad. Anyway, Rage Against the Machine were obviously raging against everything, but they used Malcolm Brown's photograph, which had been taken in 1963, which was of the self-immolation of the Buddhist monk, how do I pronounce his name?
Yeah, when he sets himself on fire and doesn't move.
He doesn't move. Oppression and it's really of Buddhist powerful. Religion. It's amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, shocking.
So they used that, and obviously people, when you look at the Rage Against the Machine album, you're kind of like, you can't really make out what it is, and then suddenly you see what it is, and it's very visceral, which is exactly like that album. Everything is about feeling this big rage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, Sticky Fingers has to be one of the most famous. Get back to the Stones. We mentioned well earlier in the programme with Charlie.
I know.
Tell us about that. I mean, famous Zipper.
I have to say, I loved when you played Painted Black because I was on my way to the studio here in Galway blaring it out going down towards the Headford Road. It was great. So this album is, you know, the Sticky Fingers, it's a little bit suggestive as it is, as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
And then the cover is up close of a crotch wearing jeans with a visible outline of a penis. And the original cover on vinyl had a working zipper that opened to reveal white briefs, which I think is gas. But the artwork was Andy Warhol's idea, and the photography was by Billy Name and designed by Craig Braun. It's always been, like, people think it's Jagger's crotch, but there was about 10 or 11 different models used. Loads of people guessing. Nobody's actually said, or, you know, Warhol never said.
So we don't really know whose it is.
We don't know whose it is. Yeah, exactly. But also that zipper that was on the original vinyl was damaging the records. So they had to do...
No, do you know what it was damaging? It was damaging other records in your collection.
Was it other records?
It used to scratch the back of any other record that just slipped in, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, apparently the advice was to pull the zip halfway down.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't be damaging anything.
So what about Roxy Music's Country Life.
I mean, Roxy Music.
They always had kind of scantily clad models on the cover.
Of course he did. He's a slick, smooth king. I adore him, Mr. Brian Ferry. But Country Life, two topless models. They were Constance Caroli and Evelyn Grunwald. And Brian Ferry had met them in Portugal and persuaded them to do the photo shoot. And it was a little bit more risque because it was a play on the words on Country Life, and they were lying in a field, and they were particularly... I suppose suggestible, just the two of them lying on the cover. But it was controversial in some countries, particularly America and the Netherlands. But it was kind of censored, but it wasn't as controversial as some others. Like, for example, The Mamas and the Papas.
The Mamas and the Papas. My God. Okay.
I know. Their debut album.
Must be mid-60s, yeah.
In 1966, yep, exactly. Right. If you can believe your eyes and ears. So the original cover featured three of the band, all four of the band in a bath. And beside them was a toilet. But the toilet seat was what caused the controversy, because you couldn't have a toilet seat. It was seen as indecent. So they had to change that.
Go back in there. Are you telling me you could have a toilet, but you couldn't have a toilet seat?
Yeah, it was the toilet seat that was the problem.
What was the Stones album with a toilet with all graffiti over the wall? I can't remember, a couple of years later, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's mad.
I know, that is mad. And then, I know really quickly, because we have to go in a sec, I don't know if you saw the cover art for Halsey's new release yesterday, did you?
I did not.
Okay, so I'm sorry to fling this in on you last minute, but I saw the album cover yesterday and I thought it was brilliant. It was striking. It's called If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power. They released their brand new album, as I said, yesterday. And basically, Halsey is sitting on a throne with one breast exposed, holding a child, and it's a painting.
Let's go back on this. Is it a throne or a toilet? No.
No.
Okay,
it's a gold throne.
Okay.
But it's about, like, they wanted to explore the side of, like, you know, womanhood and motherhood, but also sexuality. Yeah. But it's really, I think it's a really beautiful album cover, but it will cause controversy because, yet again, women's nipples apparently are more different to men's. You know?
You got some great words in the last 20 minutes.
I really did.
It's like Monty Python. Now let's go on to something ruder. Okay, well, listen, and two you haven't actually mentioned, which I think would have been very controversial, are Blind Faith and also Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin. Anyway, listen,
absolutely.
Thanks a million, Kate. Fair play to you.
No
Kate,
problem, Dave.
Kate
Thank
Brennan
you.
Harding, it is. Enjoy. What's the weather like in Galway? Is as good as
absolutely
it is here?
Absolutely stunning. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
pretty damn good here too. And I'm not giving out. Thanks. See you.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.